Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 22nd of September. Yeah. We have a bonus episode next week.
I know. And there's no extra cost, of course.
Nope.
We don't charge anything extra for that. So you had a good week?
It was okay.
Yeah. I was talking to some people today. They're two different people were both in your area and said they're selling their houses and getting the hell out of that area.
Okay.
You're not selling, are you?
No.
Is this
where am I going?
I don't know. Where's to go? Well, let's kind of get a little bit of a kickoff on some of the things that are happening. Sell-off continues. A little bit of a bounce today, but we are seeing that there has been a significant amount of selling pressure. And the big news, I think that also is causing some, problems, is that we have a Supreme Court replacement debate, which poses a risk for markets. And it's not just as simple as simply a Supreme Court replacement. So we'll talk about that. Lockdowns are coming around. Recovery trades are faltering. Massive supply is hitting markets. And SPAC mania continues.
Oh, yeah.
Just on and on and on. Just dumping. The old days, you would have private equity. And they would, either take back a public firm and they'd issue a lot of debt and they lever it up and they clean it up and they spit it back on the markets. And that was a little bit of an effort. Well, now what's happening is they don't have to go through all that. Just go out and a bunch of people give them money to create this blind pool, this special purpose acquisition company. And they just are hoping that they buy something and it just goes up. Kind of a crazy market.
That seems easier.
It's much easier. You just back end it.
Why don't we do that?
We could set up the SPAC. What would we call it?
Spack and spin, spick and spack.
Yeah, but that would be, people, you said the word spick. No.
Spick and span.
Yeah, the spick and span spack. That'd be good. So, couple things on the markets, quick updates. We had three down weeks. Tech was hit the hardest. Yesterday, we saw a massive reversal. I mean, down 2.5% to up, I think, close to almost 1% on the NASDAQ, which was obviously a 2.5% reversal or so from the bottom. Yeah. We saw, Apple move, Amazon down. Amazon had a great day today. We'll talk about some of the reasons why. And we have a TikTok deal. No, we don't. Yes, we do. No, we don't. Yes, we do. Maybe it's a little bit different, but it's a deal and who knows? That's pretty much it.
No one knows.
No one knows. Everybody, it's funny because, for the longest time, you and I have been like, I don't get this. I don't understand what they're doing, why they're doing this, what's the whole national emergency, and if it is, why are we doing it this way? And, Microsoft and Walmart and Oracle and everybody's kind of, they're buying themselves. Now on the tube, everybody's like, I don't understand this deal anymore, So we're not alone. Fed commentary, blame for the sell-off recently. They had some comments that were really interesting. And this kind of euphoria has turned to fear, which is taking out all of the excess that we saw at the last part of August has been essentially taken out of the NASDAQ.
Huh.
And as of yesterday morning, when the markets were lower on the day, when the S&P was down about 1% or 1.5%, if you closed it right then and there, it was the worst start to a September since 2002. And you know why I say that? Why I put that in there? Because people love those comparisons, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I mean, it's like, this is the first time ever we've seen a day that had more decliners than advancers in history when the market is up. And everybody's like, oh, what does that mean? Must mean something. Energy is the worst sector for the year, and tech is the best. And I provide.
Well, that can change.
That can change. I put a little chart here. You can go to episode number 24 on dhunplugged.com, which you should be doing on a regular basis, checking out the show notes. And there is a S&P 500 sectors chart that I created for you. And what this chart does, it gives us the year-to-date since the end of December through yesterday or the Friday.
Is energy down so far just because of the oil price?
It's down because they got just eviscerated with that oil price problem they had, as well as the fact.
But when it went down to zero?
Yeah, what, negative 40, yeah. So that was one problem. The second problem is, and then it ratcheted back up, but mainly it's because of the lack of driving and the lack of production requirements. Like I said, I've had my car since February 1st. I have 2,800 miles on it. I mean,
yes, I'm sure that is everybody's yes.
So you got lack of.
So when they cut everyone loose again, I don't think it's going to go back to normal, but I think there will be a lot more driving.
There'll be a lot more driving.
All around here, there's a lot of driving.
But this energy, I mean, down 41.7% this year, by far the worst sector.
I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, it's bad. It's been a bad couple of years. So, I mean, you do see these rotations happening, and this is one of the, you know, we talk about the growth and the value. Well, energy is definitely in the value side. Financials are in the value side. Utilities are in the value side. I'd even say real estate's in the value side. And maybe even staples, materials. Other than that, pretty much everything's growth. And look at the difference in the growth, right? You got the discretionary, which is consumer discretionary. It's retail, et cetera. You got the services, the communication services. You got technology. Those are up 15%, 10%, 23%. Well, pretty much all the value is just being just cratering. So, I think it's an interesting opportunity for a long-term investor to invest in the sector. I think there's something there that you could see a return. I mean, down from 41%, remember something, down 41%. That means just to get back to even, you have to get up, close to 90%?
It just looks like opportunity knocking for a long-term investor.
Yeah, I would agree. Financials are down. They were down again today. Yesterday was a really rough day for the financials. Really, really rough day. One of the reasons why was there was we have this somewhere on the list, but there was a leaked piece of information that related primarily to a few of the European banks, JP Morgan, and it was about suspicious trading activity that was flagged as suspicious. And that the bank allowed to have that money transferred to the party anyway. So they have to flag, you know, money laundering or other illicit activity.
Yeah. Gee, it's just like usual suspect too.
Yeah, of course. So they're going to do that a lot of times on things that maybe are suspicious, but not really nefarious. Right? Does that make sense?
Well, especially with HSBC, I mean, these guys have been money launderers forever.
Terrible. Terrible. HSBC is you know, and Deutsche Bank, it's the same names that come up. I'm surprised it wasn't Credit Suisse. The same names over and over.
Yeah, over and over.
Surprised Wells Fargo wasn't involved.
Well, there was no consumer angle and there's no way to rip off the public, so.
So they thought, we'll pass on this one.
Yeah, we don't need this. We don't need this aggravation.
So, you know, you had the situation where they were flagged billions of dollars transferring. And everybody's like, and I think it was a couple of years back. So there may be penalties. There may be, you know, some kind of oversight on these names. But what I thought was really interesting was that the report was pretty clear about these suspicious activities. But again, it didn't identify that all of the transactions that happened, these billions of dollars that were flagged, were necessarily transactions that were against the law or that were money laundering or that were any other kind of activity that should have been. Because, you know, if you go to the bank and you take out cash and you take out or even deposit a certain amount of cash over a certain amount, it's flagged. It's suspicious.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it is. Just flagged. Yeah,
they always flag anything. If you take anything over $10,000 out of the bank, you will get flagged.
Right.
Cash.
Yep. So that's why they're trying to also stop a lot of this cash stuff, because they figure, you know, the cash society could be involved in all sorts of crazy. I mean, you know, if you're not going to your drug dealer and saying, hey, well, maybe young people do, but back in the day that I hear, You didn't go say, hey, you know, do you take credit cards? Can I
you get a Square account?
it brings it right up to you. Sure, we'll take that. So I think there's an interesting angle there, and I agree with you that there is the potential for that. One of the ETFs that covers this sector, there's a few of them, but XLE is the energy-related ETF that covers energy. XLF is the financials. I don't know. There's like nothing going on good that I could really say that makes me feel all warm and fuzzy about the financials at this point. So, all right, we got a Supreme Court replacement going on. We have the death of RBG.
Amy Coney Barrett.
Now, everybody's like, well, what is that? Why is that going to have an effect on the market? Everybody's all up in arms. Listen, you know, the Democrats are up in arms that, did you see what Graham said back in 2016?
Yeah, we need to also see the other side, what they said.
Yeah. So, and
her, why would it affect the market? I have thoughts on this.
Yeah. I think, well, here's what I think. It's non-direct. The reason is that feathers are going to be in a ruffle. There's going to be all sorts of figuring and trying to fight this by the Democrats, right? An appointment during Trump's presidency and then a confirmation through the Senate before the election. That's going to be the play. And I think, I'm not sure who it was tonight. Somebody was mentioning that they want, Pence. He said, we need to do this because, you know, it looks like this problem, something to the degree of there's probably going to be a contested election and we need to have the court settled by then. Because it's probably going to go up to the Supreme Court, the election results. All right.
Oh, because of all the mail-ins and the rest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
that's actually, I've never heard that argument.
Yeah. So, but the thing about the markets is that, you know, the Congress can't do two things at once. Right?
Well, they can barely walk and chew gum.
Right. So now you have a situation where they're all freaking out. They're all up in arms. They're all going to be, you know, actively involved in this whole, on one side, don't let it happen. Oh, my God, it was a dying woman's.
You can't stop it. You know, these guys, they brought it on themselves.
I agree. But now what happens is they're going to spend all this time for the next month, let's say.
Yep.
Or 2 months, whatever it is, up until the election, trying to protest this, not get this done. All their energy and effort is going to be put into this, and they're not going to be able to do anything else, which would have given them the opportunity to possibly craft a bill that would pass both houses and parties and be signed off for stimulus.
Yeah.
So that's where the market angle is on this.
That could be. That makes some sense. I think it creates the I think the market would like to see Trump get reelected. The market doesn't want Joe Biden and the radical Democrats taking over the place. I just don't see it. So anything that may disturb the forces that are going to guarantee Trump getting reelected, which might include this whole thing that since Bader Ginsburg died, I think makes everyone nervous. And I think it's just a matter of just nerves.
I think that if Biden gets elected, and if there's multiple ways of looking at this, if Biden gets elected, the House stays Democrat, but the Senate stays Republican, less of a problem than if Biden gets elected, Senate turns Democrat.
Yeah, well, the likelihood of that is less, but in fact, the likelihood of Biden getting elected seems pretty long, like a long shot to me. But
what about the polls, man? What about the polls?
The polls.
Well,
we know the polls are bogus, but. But in the worst case scenario, if that happened, you had Biden somehow getting elected, not doing any campaigning, but getting elected anyway. And then the Senate and the House go Democrat. The market will crash.
You think they'll crash?
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely. You're thinking Congress, both sides, Democrat, Biden elected, crash.
Yes.
I would agree there is some problem with that. They're already talking about some weird concoction on 401k programs, whereas if you're wealthy over maybe a certain income amount, you're going to get a 26% tax credit versus a deduction or something or a capping. And people that are under a certain amount will get the same 26% tax credit for the amount they put in. So that would be go a lot further. There's all of a sudden talk about, you know, changing the tax code. Well, not to mention the corporate tax code. And, you know, I don't know if that's the right angle.
No, he already promised he's going to jack up corporate taxes and repeal the tax break that Trump put in play.
Yep.
So that's going to get pulled and then the corporate taxes are going up. Yeah. It's a formula for a market crash. The market's ready for a crash. It's just looking for an excuse, and Trump hasn't given him one.
But if we don't raise taxes, let's for a moment, just for a moment, let's talk as for the benefit of the country, that concept, right? Not me or you. If we don't raise taxes, how do we eventually pay back all this debt? Don't we need to have a balancing act somewhere?
With modern monetary theory, no.
There you go. You had to say it.
I used the MMT word.
The MMT, which is a hard left concept.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't necessarily come from the hard left, but they're the ones who love it because it sounds like free money.
Free
to
money.
Them.
That's exactly what it is. Everybody, we should just live on kibbutzes.
You know what would be funny? They would take the. It's like the MMT gives you free money, but they tax anyway. Because they have to.
Right.
We have to tax. We just must tax. We are taxers.
Yeah. The whole thing, I mean, it's definitely warped right now. There's too much excess debt. I am really surprised we're not seeing downgrades, but I think the rating services know if they do downgrades of major countries due to the fact that, you know, they're at extreme levels of debt to GDP that it would cause so much cost for bonds in the future to be issued to pay off, you know, when they roll off to pay it off, that it would just create a cascading effect.
Yeah, the bond crash. Yep. Much promised bond crash years ago.
The much promoted. We're still waiting.
Yeah, we promoted. The promoted bond crash.
We had one.
I told you if you waited long enough, it would happen.
But we did have a bond crash. We had a major bond crash in March and April. And the only reason that was averted, we had a crash. By the way, you won on the crash. I'm still with social media and the lack of faith people will have in what's going on with, you know, online and the fake news. That was my whole theory that people are going to shut down, but nobody seems to care about that. But you were right on the bond crash. We definitely had a situation where we got into a problem and the bonds crashed, but Powell came in and just started buying everything. Like vacuum cleaned it all up.
Yes. Well, to me, a crash is a crash and an averted crash doesn't count.
Yeah. Well,
I was right.
You're right.
But I was not right the way I wanted to be right. Well, being right is one thing and cashing in is another.
Just give yourself one bell ring for that. Just one.
Yeah, well, give yourself a. Yeah, no, there it is.
All right. We have some EV news. That's a cool way of saying electric vehicle news. You say EV. So Nicola, this was unbelievable. Remember last week, you shorted Nicola, and
the guy quits. I didn't think he'd take it personally.
So the Hindenburg Research comes out with this report saying fraud. This is a problem. You know, you rolled your truck down a hill and you made it look like this, and all these things. And the SEC started looking into it, and a few other agencies started looking into it. And he put out a tweet and said, you know, this is just obviously just some crazy short seller and all that. It's not. It makes me even stronger to strive harder to you know, do the right thing and get this done. And then, like, within a week, he steps down. Stock was down 20%. I need to look at your numbers because they don't look like they're – unless you lost money on the first up and then it came back down. But I have to look at that. You should be up more, I thought. But anyway.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I'll look at that
again. I think I got gypped.
I'll look at that again. But
now was Ford a big investor in these guys?
GM.
How did that happen?
$2 billion and they're standing behind it. Saying that they did.
No wonder those guys are such losers.
They made this big announcement that they're going to use, you know, Nikola is going to be used for the electric truck process of GM. Then it was just, well, it's still a GM chassis. And then it's going to be with their maybe battery or their hydrogen, whatever thing they're doing and all this. And then it was like, okay, what's happening? It was just like this whole weird thing. And But Bauer came out from GM and she said that they stand behind their due diligence and, you know, they're good to go. Now, if GM stood behind the due diligence and GM, and this wasn't a fraud, please explain to me, figure this out, come up with something.
Wait, I thought it was Ford.
No, we never said Ford. We said GM.
It was GM, not Ford?
It's always GM.
Oh, what, why is Ford so or seem making noise about this?
I don't know. I have no idea.
GMs, they're the idiots then.
Yeah. So, but my question to you is, what would possess the founder of the company to step down, take a $166 million cut? I think he got to keep his stock, which was worth like $3 billion. But what would come to his mind that not only did he resign, but he kind of like cut off his Twitter account? He just said, well, you know what? I got $3 billion. I'm done. I'm good. I mean, I don't understand.
I don't either. It makes no sense unless he had his tit in a ringer about something. Somebody had the goods on him. So there was something going on that we don't know about. There's definitely information we don't know about.
Something's weird. Now, what Steven Gursky, former vice chairman of GM and member of the board, has been appointed chairman of the board effective immediately.
So GM's all in on this and they didn't jump on Tesla?
Yeah, no. Why should they do that? That thing works. Let's go after the crap and cause more problems.
Man, these guys.
Still a $2 billion investment. You think someone can come up with something. If there's 10 different EV companies out there, you think that a $2 billion investment, that GM can come up with some engineers to, you know, take a look at the batteries that Tesla has, or bring in somebody else. It
makes zero sense to me either.
Yeah.
I don't think Tesla's not, they're not building their own motors.
No, they talked about tonight is battery day. They did have a battery day this one.
There's a lot of battery guys out there that have good technologies. Yeah, is Tesla the only ones that have access to them?
No, probably not. I don't think they signed an exclusive agreement with many of these companies, but Tesla's actually going to, I think, start creating their own batteries because of cost savings. They have the least costly batteries in the business, Tesla.
And how does that work? How come a company like GM or Ford, for that matter, but let's look at GM.
Yep.
GM is the one who had the EV1, the little electric car. They used to have a bunch of them around here, it seemed, driving around. Then they, of course, destroyed them all, so nobody could even put one in a museum, chopped them up, and then... And then they came out with they had an idea to do the Chevy Volt, and which is a great car. I've driven them, but I guess they cost $75,000 to manufacture and they only sell for about $37,000. I don't know. It's just baffling to me how these guys can do this.
I think his resignation is a resounding affirmation of something not going right or something very wrong at the company. I can't imagine a founder, you know,
very few founders quit at this point ever.
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 Right.
They go down with the ship.
Yep. 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 So we'll have to see how that plays out. Like I said, there's several other companies out there that are pretty cool, but all right. So we're going to have a Halloween. It's already starting. Talk about what are the trick-or-treaters going to do? Candy companies are in a panic, absolute panic. 15% of the industry's annual sales happen on Halloween.
I didn't know that number was that high.
Mm-hmm. So the ideas floated around are, instead of going door to door, talk of families planning to host candy scavenger hunts by themselves. Or
no, brother.
Tie individually wrapped treats to a tree in the front yard. Listen, even when somebody comes to my door, and I hold a bag open and let them take it, they just take a handful. You got a hand on it. You got a hand.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. And you're going to have candy on a tree, first of all. In Florida, can't be chocolate. Right? It's going to melt everywhere.
Can't be anything.
Yeah. So, you're gonna, and you'll have...
You're going to have bugs.
Oh, bugs and ants.
Melted candy and goo.
Yep.
Flies.
They're going to have trick-or-treating stops for kids in different rooms of their own home. You're always getting all dressed up. Okay. First stop, the kitchen. Next stop, Daddy Mommy's room. And you're going to have to go run there and, I don't know, have them knock on the door and say trick or treat. I don't know how this works.
It's not going to work. The kids aren't going to put up with this crap.
No. So some neighborhoods are planning to have socially distant costume parades before returning home to enjoy bands of candy purchased for their own households. Very sad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yep. A new thing that's happening right now is setting in called pandemic fatigue.
Oh, yeah, you can see this everywhere.
Yep. Set in across parts of Europe where the outbreak, which contained over the summer, is on the rise again. Some countries, Britain now discussed the potential for a nationwide lockdown. Johnson came out the last couple of days. Pubs would be closed at 10 because, by the way, at 9 o'clock, there's no COVID. But at 11, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know? So pubs would be closed at 10 o'clock. Restaurants also have a different set of rules and what's going on there. Cases rising over the last 30 days. Stay-at-home work from home has been strongly suggested and urged by Johnson.
You know, that guy had COVID when it was like harder that, you know, nowadays people get COVID left and right and they don't, the symptoms are asymptomatic mostly.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a real case where he had to be hospitalized. I don't remember him ever actually discussing it.
Nope. Well, no. But if you look at him and you didn't know him, you'd think something was wrong with him with the hair.
Oh, yeah. Him is the hair thing. Yeah.
What do you think he thinks in the morning about that hair? It's like.
He looks in his mirror and he goes, chick magnet.
I mean, he was no Adam Curry hair. You know what I'm saying? That long blonde hair with the pink glasses back in the 80s. This is just a mess.
Yeah.
Looks like he was in a, you know.
And he's always motioning. He's taking his right hand. And he's swiping it through the hair constantly.
Constantly.
Because it's in his eyes.
It's everywhere. There's a lot of hair and very little hairspray or product, as they call it these days. They call it product.
Yeah, he needs product. That's what he needs.
He's product. CDC reverses the Center for Disease Control and Prevention on Friday, reversed a very controversial coronavirus testing guidance, which said that people who don't have symptoms well, but they were exposed, don't necessarily need a test. And like 3 days later, they're like, well, okay. You know, if you came in contact with an infected person, you need a test. So there you go. Last 2 points here. Number one, Medicare will not cover the cost of administering any coronavirus vaccines approved only for emergency use. So I don't know what the point of that announcement is, just to scare the hell out of people.
I have no idea. It makes no sense. I didn't hear that one either.
Yeah, you have Medicare, which is what? Who's covered by Medicare? Well, it ain't your 20-year-olds that are less susceptible to the problems. It's your older population. And if we have to get this out fast, it has to be in an emergency use doctrine. And if it's not going to be covered, I mean, listen, if you got a bad case and you're dying, it doesn't matter. Like, just do me a favor. Give me the shot. Give me the vaccine. Right?
But it's usually useless when you actually have contracted.
That's true. So I don't know. CDC said it also erroneous. I don't know what's going on with the CDC. It's kind of weird. They said they erroneously posted guidance last week that suggested that COVID-19 spreads through the air beyond 6 feet. They have something not right over there.
Oh, they got, it's a bureaucracy and there's no real channels for communicating, I guess, or the PR person quit. There's something happened and I don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Last thing on this, I thought I'd throw this chart up. Kind of a cool chart. It shows the coronavirus causes a major contraction of GDP around the world.
Except
in China.
China.
11.5%. That's a contraction for them, but seriously, it's not that bad. India down 25%. Great Britain down 20%. USA down 9% is the expected. That was the second quarter non-annualized numbers.
You know, I always get a kick out of these sorts of graphs and charts, mainly because they'll do something like, well, let's leave off the one country that's a little different, Sweden, which didn't shut down their economy. Why is that not on this?
Well, let's this take list. A look. See if I can find this real quick. Sweden growth rates down 8.5%.
Okay, well.
And you thought, everybody thinks Sweden is so great.
I don't think they're great, but at least they handled it differently than everyone else they where did. They shut down the bars but and everything. Sweden did everything voluntarily.
Right, but they're down 8%. But let's take a look. Go back to our chart. Where was it? Over here. On par with Japan, 7.9%. Less than USA, which was 9.1. So this is a scary one. If you think about the amount non-annualized of India down 25% for the quarter, that is pretty substantial. You annualize, yes. it, you annualize yes. it, it's 100%.
That is a very big number for India. That could cause social repercussions in a country like India.
Yep, big problems there. Then I have a guy that I work with in India, and not only do they have the problem, this just goes beyond acceptable. Not only do they have the coronavirus problem there, which is a really big problem there, they have dengue fever.
Dengue.
Dengue fever. There's two types. There's a dengue fever and the dengue hemorrhagic fever, which is
they're all dengue fevers are hemorrhagic.
Well, this is a bad.
There's about four. One of my associates at PC Computing had dengue, and she gave me a lecture about it because she did a lot of research. It's a hemorrhagic fever. There's four different kinds, and you can get it over and over and over again, ugh. Which is kind of a problem. And the main thing is that you just have to be careful. You never take – if you took aspirin, that would kill you.
blood thinning?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he said, you know, listen, I got these projects you want me to do. I have – you know, he says, I just want to let you know that I have dengue fever. So I wrote him back. Is that mean it's going to be delayed? What are you telling me here? The guy is a tank. He didn't stop working. Kept on going.
Good man.
Yep, there you go.
Good man.
Well, he's a good guy. Roku and Comcast reached an agreement for Roku to carry the Peacock Network. Have you watched anything on the Peacock Network?
Yeah, I've got the Peacock Network. It's available on the LG television sets natively.
And it's free right now, right?
Yeah.
They're gonna come around and hit us one day.
I don't care. I'll just discontinue it using it.
Right.
The only thing I really look at on it is Sky News. They have a Sky News feed, which is kind of nice. The rest of the stuff is just there's nothing special going on there. It's okay. I mean, you can find something to watch if you're looking for some television to watch.
I thought Yellowstone was very entertaining.
I don't have time for these things.
Yeah, they go on and on. I'm in the middle of watching Bloodlines right now on Netflix.
Yeah, I can't watch this stuff.
I got to tell you something. In the second season, I said to my wife, I said, I can handle a lot of stuff. This is horrible. I don't mean it's horrible as a, it's just how much wrong can go with one family over time?
Just watch court TV.
Yeah. Every time seemingly something gets resolved, some new character pops up and just screws everything up.
Yeah.
To a point that
you can't watch this sort of thing. No. It has no substance whatsoever. It's not educational. It's not enlightening. It's not something that makes you want to work harder. It's just no good.
Yeah. I mean, I watch that stuff. I'm always like, well, let's watch it. And I'm like, listen, it's 11:30. I watch this stuff and I stare at the ceiling until like 1 a.m. You know, I can't get to sleep.
Yeah, I'll tell you the thing I've been watching. I do. It's not that I don't watch television. I was kind of raised on television. I've watched tons of television, but right now I just find a series that I didn't really pay much attention to, and I'll just watch it from beginning to end. So I went through, and I hate to say this because it takes a while because you got to sit there and watch a lot of stuff, but you got to watch the ad free every season of NCIS from season one, show number one. Boom.
Yeah.
All the way through.
But just the original NCIS, not the NCIS New Orleans.
No, just the original NCIS. Right. The other ones are just kind of you know, guilty pleasure. Yep. And so I got through the whole thing, and it's like, you know, you can see that, oh, that's interesting. They changed the characters. They had some good ideas that they dropped, and you get out, you get a, I could be the story editor for the series. So the one that I started doing that with, which is harder to watch because some of the episodes are just poorly done, is Chicago PD.
Oh, really?
Chicago PD is fun to watch if you watch it from the first two seasons are so good that you will watch, you'll keep watching. I'm almost done. It's only seven seasons, so I'm on season six.
I wonder if Blue Bloods is coming back. Tom Selleck?
Blue Bloods is coming back. It's a great show.
It's a great show, but the question is, with all of the division right now with the blue, you got to wonder how they're going to change the storyline.
I don't think they are, because they have managed to keep the modernity of the story. They've kept the story very contemporary with all the riots and stuff going on. I think they've done a good job of keeping that thing stable.
Yeah, that's one of my weekend favorites to kind of like end the evening. You know,
what goes on at 10 at night.
Yeah, so it just ends the evening and just kind of that lets me fall asleep. Plenty. My wife has to usually watch an episode like four times because past 10 minutes, she's out. So we got to keep on turning it back on for her. For what it's worth, Apple's recent drop from the recent highs erased $500 billion in market cap, which is about the size of Singapore Stock Exchange and Thailand also.
It's ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do?
Yeah. So I thought I'd bring back a chart that we've looked at before, we've talked about before, a name that has run through our close to the pin. This is the ugly chart of the decade. And that is GE. That's a monthly view of GE from 1990. How awful is that in today's age and what they have?
Look at that. We look back where before 1995 when it was down there at, what was it, $3 or something. That'd be a good run-up. You run it up during the dot-com thing, and then it collapses. This is a very interesting chart. People definitely have to look at this. It's down to nothing. I don't know, 90, looks like 1990. And it goes skyrocketing up to $55, $56. Just boom. It's like a 50-bagger. And then it collapses with the dot-com and makes a recovery. But that was the joke.
Right. Right.
So you optimists said we're at $40 a share. It collapses again down to $6. And then it makes another run at it. This time it gets to 30. And then it collapses again back down to $6. This is a chart that looks like you could trade.
It's a slow mover. It's a slow burner. But what's interesting is that the price of this company with all they had and all that they, you know, they have, don't forget, they had, they ended up rolling too much into this company. General Electric doesn't even mean anything to the name anymore.
It used to be an electric operator. They make like switches and buttons and bulbs. And they owned electricity companies. They owned NBC for a while. They own RCA for a while, the consumer side. This is a crazy company. They've had a lot of opportunities, and look at them.
Price is back to where it was in 92. 1992.
Yeah. This is the Jack Welch.
Oh, yeah. He killed this.
Jack Welch syndrome. I mean, Jack Welch was the one who introduced probably around before the first collapse in the year 2000. Stacked ranking for employees. And every company that's employed it has just, they've wiped out all the talent. Stacked ranking will get rid of your talent as fast as it can. This is a methodology for hiring, firing, keeping, giving people's raises and all the rest. And people should look it up. It's called stacked ranking. Microsoft employed it for a while as the company was collapsing. And Jack Welch was a big promoter of it. And this is what you see, is what you got now. It's just a shell of a company.
He had 411,000 employees at the end of 1980. He started, what did I say? He started in 81. He became chief executive officer of GE, and then cut about a third of that between 1980 and 1985. And he died this year, by the way. Died a few months ago. But he built 14 different businesses around this, and just it was just a real it just it wasn't good. I mean, yeah, he did drive it higher with all the shenanigans that he was doing in all the different companies, but it was just not sustainable. No question about that.
It's a disaster. Now, do they still own the jet engine company? That's a big, that's got to make some money.
I believe so. Well,
they should spin that off.
It did make money until Boeing's not created. We're not no new jets. We don't need new airlines right now.
Yeah, that puts you there. Yeah.
Now, speaking about questionable CEOs, there's a service out there, a short form video service called Quibi, and it's only available on mobile. And there's all these short programs on there that, you know, some major actors, they paid a lot of money to get this up and running.
Yeah, and they want more.
Well, founded by Jeffrey Katzenberg, CEO Meg Whitman.
Yeah.
And guess what? They're calling it quits, it looks like.
About time.
Looking to sell. I mean, in a time where people were...
You had Zoom. Right. There was Zoom. Took off like a rocket. You got your TikTok. It took off like a rocket. And these guys, they don't know what they're doing. They're, you know, Jeffrey Katzenberg is a Hollywood producer. He can make a movie. Meg Whitman, I don't know what she's ever done that's worth a powder. She ran for president, I guess.
Yeah, I've never really found her to be a good CEO.
No.
Let's see if I can do something.
The two of them hook up, and something happens. They smoke something. Next thing you know, they think they're going to take over YouTube.
Yep, not happening.
It's beyond me.
Yep. TikTok, we talked about that. Now a deal for the TikTok. It seems that it's going to be unlikely to be approved by the Chinese government. A state-backed newspaper said and had all sorts of editorial on this. Amazon has a new Halo band. Did we talk about that at all, the Halo band?
No.
I'm getting one tomorrow. I was early.
What is it?
So it's like a fitness tracker, sleep tracker, has no face. It's the band. And it has a way of you use your phone to measure your body fat and body mass, and it does all sorts of things for fitness based. It also,
how does it tell your body mass from your wrist?
It doesn't. You take a pic. Somehow you take a picture, and it forms a 3D composition of your body. So you get to stand in there in your skivvies, and then here's where it gets weird. So you stand in there in your underwear, let's say, and you kind of like take a picture. You turn. And then that sends it up to the cloud where supposedly it does the analysis and then destroys the pictures.
Sure it does.
Sure. You know, I'm not standing in front of that with my skivvies.
You remember the old, you know, the TSA, they were taking all these pictures with their x-ray machines and they were destroyed. No.
Nope. Nothing gets destroyed in the cloud.
Nobody, nothing gets destroyed once it gets on the internet.
Right. So, anyway, the other thing it has is, besides the fitness and the sleep tracker, it has mood discovery. It will listen to how you're talking throughout the day, and then you can look on the app to see what your moods were. Were you angry? Were you speaking kind of in a rough tone to your wife? I told this to my wife, and she's like, oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, finally, you'll see how you're talking to me.
I'm like, okay. Yeah, the wife. Yeah, it would be the wife that thinks this is great.
So I said,
even it agrees, you're being mean to me.
Yeah, right. Look at your watch. It says you're a mean person. So I got it because it was $69. I figured, well, you know, I got to test it out. So it's coming in tomorrow. So we'll check it out. Now, today,
another spying device is going to be watching every move you make.
Yep. So now you also have a new Prime bike that was announced today. In a deal with Echelon, which is the bike company, they're going to be now competing in the Peloton space. The bike is $500, virtual clone of the $1,900 Peloton bike, minus the screen. That's important. Minus the screen. Color scheme is the same. It weighs
minus the screen. It's the screen that sells the Peloton.
Well, no, you could get for $49 a month the Peloton app and on your iPad.
Oh, so in other words, they want you to use the Peloton app for your bike?
Or they want you probably to use the Echelon one. They have one too.
Oh, brother.
So there's no screen provided. It weighs, I think, 100 and the Peloton weighs 135 pounds. This bike weighs 80 pounds. There's no clips. Instead, there are straps for your feet. I don't know. It seems that
I'll pronounce this DOA already.
Yeah.
This is another example. Amazon does. They're the worst at this. They're not very good. Older companies like Microsoft could pull this off. This reminds me of the Amazon Fire Phone.
Oh, do you have to bring up such a horrible topic?
They bring out this phone. All the stocks drop of all anybody's got anything to do with a phone. Oh, God, Amazon's going to take over the phone business. And the phone stunk. In fact, I had one. I got a sample. And it's like you almost could cut yourself if you run your hands along the side of it.
Oh.
The fit and finish was just embarrassing. It was, you know, it had one or two interesting features. It was 3D. So when you looked at the screen, it was kind of a 3D display. I thought that was kind of cool. No one else has done that sensor before. And it also had the thing where you could take a picture of pretty much anything and it put a bunch of dots all over the screen and it could tell you what the thing was.
They still have that on the Amazon app now.
Well, yeah, they still do, yeah.
But I think the big issue here in the realization is that if Peloton does have the $49 or $39 per month app, I mean, there's a couple things missing. Like you'd have to put on it's not a pedometer. It's a cycle counter to see how fast you're going and all that. And you can use a third-party one, strap it to the pedals, and it will show up on your screen if you use the Echelon app. I mean, but my point is there's not a lot of barrier to entry into this, right? It's a bicycle. Peloton ripped off what a spin bike is.
Pretty much.
And they charge an extraordinary amount of money for it. So
it's overpriced.
Everybody's getting into everybody else's business.
Well, that's not new.
Yeah. But
some people do it better than others, and Amazon's not one of them.
But one of the things also Amazon announced today is that they are no longer going to be prioritizing competitive products with their own products. In other words, I don't know if they're shutting it down entirely. So maybe they're not going to have, let's just say, another bike that's on there that's being advertised and sponsored. They won't take that because they want to utilize and push their own.
Well, that's what should be the goal of Amazon from the beginning. I mean, doesn't Costco want to push the Kirkland brand? You know, everything you buy from Kirkland is a little cheaper, about the same quality.
Yep. But of course, that's going to bring up this is why they need to be broken up. Look, I'm like, what are you talking about? Doesn't everybody, every firm want to promote what is the most cost effective and profitable for their firm?
Yeah.
It's not like Amazon has to be.
How does Amazon get broken up? I mean, it wouldn't change anything. The way you break Amazon up, you have to do it by divisions. You maybe get rid of AWS and maybe you do some other thing, but they still have the store and the store still be pulling what stores always do.
I listened to some stupid person in Congress talk about, maybe we'll split up the groceries from the apparel. I'm like, what? Why would you do that? It's crazy.
Well, then do the same thing to Target and Walmart.
Right, I know. We have a company that just sells tomatoes. Right? I mean, that's what it is, right? You know?
Tomatoes on.
Yeah, it's crazy. Tesla had their battery day stock off 12% overnight. A couple of economic bright spots. U.S. home sales increased at the fastest pace since 2006. There we go again. Saying where
the existing homes went up like 12 or 14%.
Right, exactly. Sneakers on sale again. Nike puts in a pretty astounding quarter. Our stock was up about 12% in the after hours. So there you go. Where's my pad? We have to pick a DH unplugged closer to the pin. Wait a minute. What's going on here? We got to pick a close to the pin.
Yeah, okay.
So you have anything in mind? You want to think about it?
I don't have anything in mind offhand.
You could do Peloton.
Let's do an energy company.
You want to do like an Exxon? You want to do
That would be great. Let's do Exxon.
I don't know if we've ever done that before. Exxon Mobil. That's when things went to hell, when they combined two of these. Exxon Mobil is the one we're going to do there. Okay. Yeah, because somebody's mentioning in the chat room we could do Nicola. That would be fun.
No.
A couple of other pieces here. They have one limerick coming in from South Africa, and which, by the way, I got ramrodded last time. Somebody else sent something from maybe the same guy from South Africa. He was so mad about about my South African accent that I put on the South Africa. Said it was the worst since Leonardo DiCaprio in Blood Diamonds. New York City.
You can do a good. You could lean it toward Afrikaner and use a little bit of a Dutch accent. Adam could teach you that.
Yeah. So New York City restaurants, check this out. More than 80% of the New York City restaurants, bars, and other venues were unable to pay their full rent last month. 80%.
Oh, yeah. They're all going out of business.
Unbelievable.
There was a thing that Yelp did a survey, and they found that like 60% in the Bay Area are already out of business.
Terrible. Terrible. Survey conducted by the New York City Hospitality Alliance found that about 34% of the restaurants, bars, nightclubs, and event venues could not pay any of their August rent. That's bad. In addition, 48% said they could not pay some of their rent, and 5% said they were not sure how much of their rent they could pay. Just under 13% said they expect to pay all of their rent in 2020. So in August 2020. So that's 87% of places that are in the hospitality, leisure / restaurant bar. That's a lot for New York. I mean, the landlords have got to be just out of their minds.
Oh, yeah. New York's got some issues.
Crazy. All right. We have one Fed limerick coming in from Chris from Africa. You can send in your limericks that relate to the Fed to dhemail@dhunplugged.com. So this is a twist on the classic limerick that everybody knows. Most people know.
Yeah.
There was a young boy from Nantucket, a short trader who feared the Fed puppet. The markets looked grim. Jerome Powell stepped in and the boy exclaimed, "Told you, fuck it."
Well, here's the problem.
Oh.
The last line, the boy from Nantucket told you so. Who told who so? Did he say what?
Well, he's a short trader. So he got
the
screwed.
The boy was a short trader?
Yeah, it says a short trader who feared the Fed puppet.
So it was a young boy who was a short trader. Okay. Well, that's confusing. This is not a good limerick.
Oh.
I would give it there's a real long line at the end and two short lines that precedes it. I would give this a C minus.
C minus, which is your average score, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
It's a big list.
Well, here we go. A couple of things got bounced, but I will say the couple of things you should note. This market has been in a downturn. We have not had an up pick, there's a couple, but they're both shorts. The only up, only green we have is shorts recently. Since July 1st of 2020, everything to July 1st, 2020, everything was green. From July 1st of 2020, everything is red.
Yep.
Except the shorts. So if we had shorted everything we said to buy on July 1st, we'd be way up on everything.
Yep. So now what do we do is the question, right? I mean, first of all, your Unibail, Rodicom, Westfield, whatever was bounced.
Yeah, I saw that.
And remember, we pushed this up to a 20% stop right now with the market volatility. So things are going to get a little bit wonky.
Yeah.
You know? But have Trane Technologies doing well. Shopify is in the red. This is your buy. You did buy that. Yeah, Momo. Yep.
That was a momentum play.
Mm-hmm.
These are all should have been shorted.
Yeah. Nicola's only up 6%, but I gotta look at that. That was last week. It seems like it should be down more, but maybe it shot up, then came down. That is possible.
I may have gotten it at the wrong price.
Last week, we closed a position in Wayfair for a short that I put on with a 9.5% gain. That's where it shorted out. And it was fleeting overbought. Right now, Wayfair closed about 304. 305 seems to be a pretty significant level of resistance.
And you think it's going to collapse?
Yeah, we're going back to the short side on that again.
I think we should have gone back to the short side, and this what bothers me on July 1st.
I understand. Stuff has come down pretty significantly.
It's quite irksome to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have nothing to pick. I mean, I would look for something to short. I mean, maybe there's a few things here that are being bought. There's one that showed up that insiders buying, which is one of those marker stocks. I've talked about these before. When they show up as, you know, all of a sudden in the news or somebody's buying or something or they're going up, the market is done.
Oh.
And this one, which I haven't heard from for a while, but you've heard it. When I say the name, you'll recognize it. And I may have talked about him in the past. TransDigm Group.
What is it?
TDG.
TransDigm Group. So trading at $502 per share.
Yeah.
Wow. What are we doing with this?
I'm shorting it. This is going against insider buying, by the way.
Against the grain. Is that the point?
Yeah, against the grain.
And that's a short. All right.
Mainly because it's one of those marker stocks. I just don't like seeing them.
What was the other one? Ingersoll Rand. What was the other one?
The other one, there was I keep wanting to say Tri-Delt, which is a sorority, but it's Tri something. It's another
semiconductor.
Yeah.
But I thought there was another one that you had that it wasn't Ingersoll Rand. It was.
No, it was another one. There's about four of them.
Yeah, that was an industrial.
Yeah, there's another couple of them. You never hear of them. You never hear of them all year long. And then all of a sudden, boom, there they are.
Not like Martin Marietta.
And people are pushing it. I wish I could remember the whole
thing. I think it
group.
Begins with an H. Somehow I think it begins with an H.
Could be. Well, I'll tell you, all you have to do, you don't have to try to find it. It'll come up in the news.
Yeah, right.
It'll just show up.
Yep, it sure will.
In the next few weeks, it looks like.
All right. We're going to sign off. I would like to wish a Happy New Year to all of our Jewish listeners. Rosh Hashanah just passed over the weekend. And next week on Sunday evening and on Monday is Yom Kippur. And this weekend, cross your fingers, I'm going out for swordfish again. And this time we have a 10-foot harpoon.
Mm. So you might actually get something to eat.
Correct. I wonder if I could pack it up and send it to you. I could do that on dry ice, I would think.
Yeah, you could.
Express delivery? You like swordfish?
But I'm not a big swordfish guy. I would rather have the dolphin fish or which is that green thing, right?
Yep. Mahi-mahi, yep.
Some mahi-mahi would be nice.
Yep.
And there's also some other fish, a wahoo, yahoo, something
wahoo,
like that.
Wahoo is good. Wahoo.
Yeah, I've never had that fish.
Oh, that's something. That's a good fish. It's really interesting, that fish is beautiful. So when those fish hit, first of all, wahoos are one of the fastest fish in the ocean. 65 miles an hour they swim. So when they hit your bait, it's this, you know, what you do is we do high-speed trolling. We put out some rods, some big rods. We put out a cowbell. We call it the cowbell. It's this metal-on-metal thing that as it's going through the water, it's like going boom, 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 boom. It attracts them, okay? We go anywhere from 11 to 14, 15 miles an hour. We're cruising the boat on a high-speed troll because these things come by and just slam, we call them slammers. They just slam your lure. I mean, just rip it. And then what they do is they have these kind of, if you ever look at the picture, they have these pointy mouths, these long, elongated pointy mouths with, by the way, serious teeth, very serious teeth. They fight you for a while, but then they just open their mouths up. So it creates this unbelievable drag on it, you know? And you slow down the boat a little bit, but not too much. So you're reeling this thing in with like a 10-mile-an-hour pull with their mouths wide open. And we've caught them up to like 50 pounds. They're enormous.
Wow.
Yep. It's and the meat is, first of all, they're beautiful. They're a beautiful fish. They're like a long, giant long cigar.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of them. They're very pretty.
Yep. And the meat is white and delicate. It's great meat. Great meat.
Hmm. Yeah, I've never had that meat. I've only seen pictures of the fish, but they do look sleek.
Yep. We fillet them up and eat them right on the boat.
Yeah.
Pieces. Sushi. All right. Well, we're going to end it there.
All right. I'll talk to you next Tuesday then.
All right. See you. Bye.
Happy New Year.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.